To start with this morning, from the Gospel, Matthew 18:19. Truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. You know, when we were baptized, we were reminded that the Holy Spirit anoints us and that we are incorporated into Christ, who is anointed priest, prophet, and king. As Christians, we participate in all of these roles. But today I'd like to take a little time about speaking about the role of the prophet. Prophecy is not a prediction of the future. But in our religious sense, it means speaking the words of God. The Old Testament prophets proclaimed their message by saying, "Thus says the Lord," and everything else followed. The message usually dealt with the issues and the situations of their day. And if we are challenged to be prophets today, there are several things we are challenged to do. First, we must be attuned to God's message. We must be men and women of prayer. And God speaks to us through nature, in scripture, prayer, and spiritual reading. He speaks to us in other people. And as prophets, we may become those people for others. Second, after we become attuned to God, we then use our own lives to tell others about God. We do not have to go outside of our own lives. We can tell our family and our friends, and hopefully you are all my friends. The great prophet Ezekiel reminds us that we must speak out when people are doing things wrong. If we don't say something to them about their action, as we are as guilty as they are. And if we do bring them to task and they do not listen, they condemn themselves. Therefore, we have accepted our responsibility and have done the best we can to prevent this sin in the world. Jesus, in our gospel this morning, now brings this message of Ezekiel into our very lives. No longer is it merely seeing evil and sin in the world around us. Now we are asked to look into our very families, our brothers, our sisters. We are to challenge each other to live good Christian lives. Some years ago, there was a billboard display that said, "There's a big difference between putting your nose in other people's business and putting your heart in other people's problems." This statement speaks to the core of Ezekiel and Jesus' delegation for us to care about other people. The summation of all of this is stated emphatically in the Apostles' letter to the Romans that says, "Owe no debt to anyone except the debt that binds us together in love for one another." Owe no debt to anyone except the debt that binds us to love one another. Religious behavior in the United States is currently considered a private matter, and so it may be harder to speak to others about this than it would seem it ought to be. Privacy, after all, is a human right belonging to a particular person. Making religious exercise a matter of privacy all but removes it from the public domain, unfortunately. If, for instance, a Christian were to study the content of the public school textbooks this day, it would be strikingly evident that few religious words appear for either reading or spelling. Any attorney will tell you that the first step in adjudicating an altercation is that those at odds talk to each other. As the gospel echoes this process, it is not until the whole courtroom is needed to do this that people need to go to court. Dialoguing with another person more often than not brings out not the question of who is at fault, but an understanding of the facts of the matter. This is where he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. Prayer to exercise such loving brings Jesus' spirit of reconciliation into any personal difference. "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I will be in their midst." says the Lord. In fact, for every relationship with God would be a motivation for putting your heart into God's or people's problems. This prayer inspires respect for God's own truth that is mirrored in respect for other people's privacy. Respect for God primarily leads us to avoid profanity, such as blaming God for our sins and breaking the third commandment, "You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God." This respect then mirrors itself in avoidance of gossip about others whom we do not understand. It motivates us to avoid slander, which is a verbal character assassination. Even in the church, we might consider that flaming anonymous letter to the bishop that would be outside of the gospel spirit. Respecting others' rights, and numerous radio shows and talk shows seem to forget about it, respecting others' rights restrains us from saying what is true but harmful, from outright lies, and from offensive language. Observing the eighth commandment, "Do not bear false witness against your neighbor," makes us think twice about putting your heart into other people's problems. Yet Jesus says, "I assure you, whatever you declare bound on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." What concern we prioritize for the love of God and neighbor holds us accountable on earth and in heaven. As much as we find it hard to draw a line between curiosity and intrusion, being nosy and gossiping, the gospel nevertheless enjoins us the exercise of concern for one another. Its exhortations to prayer and processes for adjudicating altercations have as its goal enriched experience of Christ in our midst. Where there is risk, there is reward. As Christ's faithful people, we are called to meet this challenge. Let us turn to Christ in our midst. Our prayer for anything whatever rests in Jesus' presence and his assurance, "It shall be granted you by my Father in heaven." Let it be because we kneel before the Lord who made us with respect for his name, self-respect for truth, and respect for the debt we owe, as Paul says, to love one another. This is the labor we are called to undertake. We are at work at being great givers of support, wisdom, comfort, and joy to others. We are to checkmate our evil desires and inclinations by unleashing our God-given capacity for caring for and nurturing others. As great lovers, we are required to make great sacrifices. As great lovers, we are called to work for harmony in a world of conflict. As great lovers, we are expected to shine forth with the light of Christ in a world filled with injustice, exploitation of the poor, and mistreatment of workers. The misunderstanding of decent business people and political systems that crush rather than support humane ways of existence. In a world that promotes conflict, the Lord urges us to seek reconciliation. In the most practical terms, Jesus urges us to keep our troubles as private as possible. He knew that his disciples were not perfect and would continue to inadvertently hurt one another. We do the same. He urged that people try to work out their differences. If that failed, they should seek mediation and ultimately a just judgment given by the community as a whole. Jesus constantly extended his love to all, but realized there will always be enemies of love, and those would refuse to love beyond themselves and drain and disrupt and dissent the loving in the community as a whole. Such individuals could not be of the company of his disciples because they would not fulfill his commands to love God and neighbor completely and justly. The community itself would be the watchman for Christ's love in this world. We, the community, are the watchmen for Christ's love in the world. Jesus wanted us much more for his followers to be bound in love. Love can never be forced. God loves everyone. Unfortunately, not everyone loves God. This does not diminish God's love, but it prevents God's love from taking root in the heart of the haters of God. God stands in the midst of the people, but God is in communion only with those who pray and live together in love. On the earth and in heaven, only the bonds of love will hold us together and hold us to God. Hell is for those who have rejected love's bounds and responsibilities. Hell is for those who have rejected love's bounds and responsibilities. Hell is on earth has been created by those who flee from love and the love of God. Hell on earth is created by those who harden their hearts against God and neighbor. And though these people may prosper materially, they are bankrupt humanly and personally. Ultimately, if they do not heed the watching community's commandments of love, they will die in their guilt and enter a loveless, lifeless, lonely realm of their own creation. Let us love one another. Amen.